Hello, welcome to True Romance. My name is Carolina Barlow.
My name is Devin Leary.
And we're best friends.
Sure. Right? I mean, if you want to tell yourself that.
Okay. We have been there for each other's best and worst romantic moments. I stood by Devin when she found out her boyfriend was being investigated by the feds.
Mm-hmm. And I stood by Carolina when she literally peed the bed on Valentine's Day.
I literally peed the bed on Valentine's Day, which is not a metaphor.
It's a gift. It's a gift.
The funny thing is, which my ex-boyfriend didn't think was funny, was that he had literally bought a new mattress 5 days prior and was like, I just love my new mattress. I can't believe, like, an adult purchase. And then Valentine's Day came around and I literally pissed the bed.
Also, I want the listeners to know that this was before Casper, before Lisa. This was when you had to get a real mattress from a mattress store.
Oh, we're that old.
We're 75. This was when there was no TV to watch. There was no beds to sleep on most of the time.
You literally just, you had a guy. You're like, I have a guy. True Romance is a podcast on the horrors, embarrassments, loneliness, anger, and lies of our own love stories and the famous love stories that we all look up to. So we're going to talk about kidnapping. We're going to talk about Munchausens. We're going to talk about all the things that comes with your modern dating life today.
Just general and flirting, you know?
Yeah. What happens when you meet someone you like? Because romance is by its very nature romanticized, and even heartbreak is romanticized. And we're just going to call baloney on that. We're going to call shenanigans.
Spam. I'm going to call spam on that.
I'm going to say that is La La Land. Okay.
Meaning a horrible, horrible film that I'll never get the time back in my life that I spent watching.
Meaning a fascist film. Yeah.
Meaning a fascist torture mechanism.
Meaning Goebbels directed that circa World War II.
They use that against the Ruskies.
So life is not a Lana Del Rey song. It's not an Adele song. It's an Amy Winehouse song. I'm talking Back to Black.
Yikes.
Yeah, well.
That's where you're at?
That's the level of darkness I'm at right now. I just got dumped during a pandemic. We'll get into it. Mm. But Devin, you're in a happy relationship right now. So your life is probably like what?
It's more like a One Direction song, maybe?
Yeah.
My boyfriend doesn't know he's beautiful. So I try to tell him that. I say, listen, you don't know you're beautiful, but you are. And he says,
it's interesting that people think that's a flattering thing to say to someone. Like, guys are like, listen, I like you. You may not know how beautiful you are, and other people may think you're disgusting, but I see the true beauty that is you. It's a little bit similar to our friend Beth, who gives one of my favorite compliments, which is, Carolina, I don't believe anything people are saying about you. And it's the best way to give someone a compliment. You just go up to them and you're like, hey, I just want you to know, I don't believe any of the rumors, and I think you're a really good guy.
A really good person.
Yeah.
Carolina and I are similar. We've spent a lot of time trying to make guys fall in love with us, telling them that we love them, and then getting upset after.
They don't always say it back, especially when you tell someone you love them within a few weeks of dating them.
Which I don't know another way.
I don't know another way either. And I'm always surprised when they don't say it back.
It's just waiting there. It's like this thing that you know will give you either attention and joy or attention in a negative way where you have a reason to be upset. So it's like, either way, I'm going to get a feeling. And if I'm not having a feeling at the moment, right, why do I not just take that bait and just, exactly, like throw it into the mix?
You're cutting a wire on a detonating bomb and you don't know whether it's going to detonate or not. You could save the world or it could destroy you.
It's basically the Hurt Locker. That's how we approach romantic relationships.
I thought that was a romantic comedy.
I thought that was Nancy Myers.
It's like Nancy Myers is Hurt Locker.
You could say it's complicated in that one.
Or Nancy Myers' Room, where a guy finally commits to a woman and he locks her in a room.
Go on.
And he gives her vitamins. He gives her a baby. And all he asks is that she never leave, which right now in quarantine seems totally doable.
I think I've roomed my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have. So we basically started this podcast to legitimize our obsession with people's love lives. And on True Romance, we are going to want to hear and discuss everyone's love stories, how they made it, how they didn't, how they did it.
In what positions?
Yeah, what it felt like. Neither of us have had sex, so we're going to be asking a lot of questions.
We always wondered about that SEX thing.
Doing it. Doing it. Like saying the word.
Yeah, like putting nasties together or whatever they say. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Bumping uglies.
One person getting on top of another person. You take off a small amount of clothes. Mm-hmm. You just make holes in your underwear. Then you do it. Then you move off of each other. And then you don't speak. That's how I do it. So we're obsessed with all relationship dramas. Neuroses, the famous love stories that we have all admired. Dennis Quaid and his 26-year-old wife.
Oh,
the
God.
Obamas. Miley and Liam. Well, that's a whole episode. Mm-hmm. My old neighbor and her alcoholic boyfriend. I'm going to see if they want to get on. And
yeah.
True story. I cry every Valentine's Day at pictures of the Obamas. It's almost a tradition at this point. Whatever they post, I cry. And one of my hobbies is planning my own wedding, even though I don't know if I want to get married. And I was dumped during a pandemic, so it might not even really be up to me.
Do you want to get into that now or later?
Good question. Do I want to get into talking about my breakup? That's going to be a yes.
Yeah, you could say. That's going to be a strap on in.
It's pretty easy to tempt me. Originally, our pitch for True Romance was that we were fucked up people who had ended up in relationships that were amazing. We're so in love. But ironically, about a week before recording our first episode, I found myself in the statistic of people who were dumped during a pandemic. So Kyle is in quarantine, but only from me. And it's going to be forever. He's isolated from me. Not because I have COVID, but because he no longer wanted to quarantine together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's changing the tone of our podcast a little bit. I'll say that.
It's a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
I was 90% sorry for you and sympathetic for you and 10% like, this is going to be good material.
But that's just because I'm an artist. I see an episode here.
I'm an audio artist, and so I always think about art.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, as art, that would be interesting to explore loss, darkness, rejection.
That's one of the things I told him when he broke up with me, is I said, you know what? This hurts my feelings, but it saves my art.
Yeah.
And I'm good. And if you think I'm not going to use this, you're wrong.
You know what? You're basically Ariana Grande. This is your thank you next. No, sorry. No offense. You're Pete Davidson.
Thank you.
This is your King of Staten Island. Arguably better. Okay. And he's Ariana.
I have heard rumors. That's all I'll say. That Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson was a press relationship to set her up for thank you next. And she had that song ready to go the whole time.
I don't know. That seems to be...
I know. It's very plotted. It's very plotted.
My experience with celebrity gossip is that I am like a Trump supporter with celebrity gossip. Like, I don't believe any information that I don't want to hear. So I want to believe that they loved each other. So I believe that. And anyone, meaning everyone, who tells me that that's probably not true and that it was set up, I say, go...
Shame on you.
Fuck yourself. No, I just get upset and I feel like...
You say MAGA?
I say, listen, America was great at one point. When they were together, they were posing in his dressing room at SNL. Oh. She was sitting on his lap and covering her face like she does with a giant sleeve. Yeah, I don't know why, but I liked that. And also, my question, as I asked you many times, what about the tattoos? Would either of them really get the tattoos?
That's true.
If it was, they're both just kind of crazy and they both got into a crazy thing.
And as you know, my theory is that there can only be one crazy person in a relationship.
Yeah, I have learned that the hard way.
I know.
You could say.
I do think that your current boyfriend is remarkably sane. Stable. He's remarkably stable.
Yeah, it's very shocking. His response to life is the same response that I have to do like 7 years of therapy to learn. Like, he's like, oh, I just did that because it needed to be done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Or he's like, oh, yeah, I was kind of annoyed at my boss, but at the end of the day, like, he's my boss. And so even though I disagreed with it, he's just doing the best he can, like we all are. And I'm like,
okay, good night. Also, zero trouble sleeping.
What? And yeah. Yeah.
My ex, Kyle, was actually remarkably sane as well, but there was a huge red flag. And that was when he broke up with me.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, you're crazy. And that was when I started to feel like, wait.
There's an issue.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to be with someone who dumps me.
That's powerful.
And it was a relationship that lasted just shy of 3 years. And it was a really happy relationship. But I did feel slightly like I was blindsided. But when he broke up with me and said that he hadn't been happy for a while, I was like, I don't know if I want to date someone who's unhappy dating me. You don't want to negotiate with someone like that. It's like when you're getting mugged, you know, you're supposed to just give the robber everything. You're not supposed to be like, okay, wait, but what if I kept my grandmother's necklace, my grandmother's pearls? That's how women talk, right? You give them everything because you want to stay alive. And it's the same with breakups. You don't say like, okay, let's work this out. Or like, maybe there's something still here. You preserve your dignity.
For any of our listeners out there who may have thought, when you're getting mugged, should I say, may I keep my grandmother's pearls? FYI, no.
Give those up. So yeah, when we got into this fight, he said he wasn't happy. I did not fight him on it. And because I'm also a very normal girlfriend, I don't shoot heroin. I'm not crazy anymore. I used to be, but not anymore. But what I'm really interested in is, when did you know that Kyle and I weren't supposed to be together? Because your friends usually know before anyone else does.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I think it's hard because anytime in the past when I've known that friends aren't supposed to be with someone and I voice it, it's always a delicate thing because you can't know till you know, which is the theme of our episode, is when you know you need to break up with someone, you really can't like manufacture that. Like, I feel like you can't even get the advice for that. It's like people can tell you whatever, even people can tell you that the person's cheating on you or whatever it is. And it's, you can't really make the decision till you know for yourself. But for me, I guess with Kyle, it would be when he said he was going to get a tattoo of a hobo symbol on his body. So that, to me, that was tough. So it was in addition to him not supporting you during the outbreak of COVID and wanting to go on vacation instead of quarantining with you. But
we really need to get back to the hobo tattoo.
But the hobo symbol, that was
I'll never say anything bad about him because he was a really good boyfriend. He was there for me a lot of the time. But at one point he said, I'm going to get a tattoo. I love tattoos on guys. I think they're actually very attractive, even though I don't have any. And so I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. What are you going to get? And he said, a hobo symbol. That means, and I first of all, the word hobo. Second of all, I was like, what is that? And him and his friend explained to me that on old train cars, there were sometimes symbols that reflected the town they were approaching. So it would say things like, there is water here.
Right.
So that was troubling to me for many reasons. One of which is, these are successful middle to upper middle class people. I think it's appropriating poverty for fashion's sake, which I'm very uncomfortable with. I was sort of explaining this to him, and then his friend was like, you mean this? You mean you think this sucks? Pulls up his pant leg and he has what he describes as a hobo symbol on his leg. And I was like, oh no, I'm sorry. I was confused. That's actually the coolest thing I've ever seen. And yeah. I'm in total support.
And when I said it's appropriating poverty, I meant it's really fucking cool.
I meant you're cool. I'm cool with you. And I want to get out of this conversation as soon as possible. Then I basically said, okay, so is there anything else you can get? And he was like, maybe I could get a flamingo skeleton. And at that point, I was like, if you're not joking, you're trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we wanted to focus on the moment you know that it's time to break up. The moment you know it's over. And maybe that's because there is water here. Maybe it's just that light bulb moment. And the panic that ensues. Mm-hmm. And I wish we could interview Kyle, my ex, but we haven't been speaking because when he broke up with me, it was like clear that that was going to be one of the consequences.
No longer speaking?
I was like, this is going to be hard on our relationship. I'm not going to lie. It is not going to be easy to hang out.
This is going to be hard on our charming back and forth that we have.
I was like, I'm not going to want to sleep over. Do you understand that?
Kyle, if you're listening, please, first of all, like.
Yeah, you got to support us.
Second of all, subscribe.
Come on.
I'm going to stretch it. I'm going to say third of all, review. And then I'm going to say.
It's not a review of our relationship, Kyle. It's a review of the podcast.
It's the art. Focus on the art again, please. And then fourth or third or fourth or whatever I was on. Tell us why you broke up with Carol.
When Devin learns to count, it's over for you bitches. Devin.
It's not going to happen anytime soon.
You dated a guy we'll call Milo for 3 years. You guys live together, which is dangerous because men are disgusting. So that can oftentimes make things, it can maximize pressure on a situation.
He was a great roommate, I just want to say.
Oh, you were the disgusting one, right?
I mean, again, can you call art disgusting? Because I was focusing on my art, so I didn't have time to pick up.
I've actually personally seen you use paper to pick out the dead skin in between your toes. So I'm going to say that if you really were yourself,
No. That's a healthy thing. That's for the health of my feet that I've Googled how to keep your feet healthy.
So that may have been the moment for him, but you tell me when you knew. And well, I'll tell you when I knew that you and Milo weren't going to work.
So I do remember with complete clarity the moment I did know, which was this crazy weekend that we were like fighting the whole weekend, like Ron and Sam Jersey Shore fighting, like you're traumatizing me type of.
When Ron's like, Sam, I made fun of your big toe.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's personal.
Okay. You want to talk about how toe conversations are personal? Because you went there. But he actually would never have done that. So maybe he's a better person than you because he never would have made fun of my big toe.
Hey, don't break up with me. Don't you fucking leave me.
I can't because of this. Now I'm financially tied to this podcast. Anyway, so we were fighting the whole weekend. It was terrible. We saw three billboards outside of Ebbing, Minnesota or whatever. That was also terrible.
That sucks.
But it was honestly like a nice respite. Like that movie was like an escape. I was like, wow, this world seems nice. Is this aspirational? Because these people like are having a lot more fun than I am. Anyway, so we were at this restaurant. We were having brunch. And he, first of all, he said, like, I'm trying to think of something for us to talk about. Because we were just like not talking. We were catching our breath in between fights. So he was like, I'm trying to think of something for us to talk about. And I said, we have nothing to talk about, which was not even like trying to start an argument. I was just stating facts. And the facts were that we had nothing to talk about and we had nothing in common anymore. And so I was like, oh, yeah, we have nothing to talk about anyway. And he was like, OK, well, like, let's talk about holiday plans. Like, we should book tickets to see my parents in Florida for Christmas, which was a contentious topic because I insist to anyone I'm ever in a relationship with that I will not go to their family's house for Christmas. Some will say that's tough. Some will say that's unfair. I say Christmas with my family is the most important event of my year. I can't change it. It's like asking someone to change their hobo tattoo. It means everything to me. Not because of religion, but because of like presence. So
presence.
Yeah. So
it's like you never got over when you got a puppy for Christmas.
I know. Well, I. Anyway, so I thought that was triggering. And he was like, we should book tickets to see my parents in Florida. And I said, I'm not going. And it was this weird moment where, like, as I said that, I realized that the reason I was saying that was because I knew I wasn't going to be in the relationship by Christmas. And I think we tried, like, a little bit longer after that. But, like, from that moment forward, I had this like seed of knowledge, and everything after that was like evidence. Like, okay, we got in another fight, evidence, like just more and more until it was like clearly a murder has taken place. There's so much evidence.
It's interesting. It's like they say, you know, when you're in love, and we've both been wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never been wrong about when we knew we had to break up.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of breaking up and then immediately retracting it, which is really fun to be on the other side of.
Yeah.
I will say that when I knew that you and Milo had to break up, it was a lot more subtle than that. I mean, I'd obviously seen you be troubled by the relationship. But then it was the fact that he hated when you posted ugly pictures of yourself online, which your ugly photos, me and our other friends have marveled at them. Like, wow, Devin can make the ugliest faces of all time.
I can.
And you and I have gone back and forth just trying to outdo each other. And he would say things like, it's so funny to me. He would say things like, I want people to see how beautiful you are. Which is really just a way of saying, I want people to see how hot my girlfriend is.
Yeah.
And I remember when you said that he had like taken the phone out of your hands and tried to delete a picture of you posted of yourself. And I was like, and I say this as someone who's dated guys before who have had the same problems. Like I'll post an ugly picture of myself on an Instagram story to, you know, to provide the giggles for my many followers. And the fact that they don't think it's funny or that they think it's like, a commentary on it's somehow related to them and their ego really grosses me out. I'm like, I think I'm pretty. I'm fine. I just really enjoy seeing how much I can distort my looks. It gives me actually a reverse pride. I remember this one guy who I wasn't dating, but he was like, why would you do that? And I was like, I just think it's funny. And he was like, I think that's so weird. And I was like, the fact that you won't do that speaks so much more about you, sir.
I know. I used to like envy people who would post, even though sometimes they're really obnoxious, like post like ugly pictures of them being ugly with their boyfriends. And I was like, I wish my boyfriend would be ugly with me.
I have had the exact same thought. All right. Before we take a break, I think we need to get through some of the news, the world news.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dennis Quaid became his character on The Parent Trap as he's engaged to a 27-year-old. That means I'm 3 years older than Dennis Quaid's future wife.
They're married now.
Well, okay, first of all, congratulations, and I'm sorry.
They just got married.
I don't want to rain on anyone's parade.
Yeah, but they just got married.
The younger woman, and I'm saying this in light of the Chris D'Elia news, mm-hmm. I just find so unappealing. You might as well say I'm having a mental breakdown.
Sorry, I'm laughing because my boyfriend kept referring to Chris D'Elia as Delio. He's like, wait, that guy Delio? And I was like, honestly, that's a great insult that you don't know his name and refer to him as the masculine version of my favorite shop in the mall when I was a kid.
I find it obviously so unappealing, but I also saw Dennis Quaid once at a party and he was in a really tight shirt and he was vaping. And my first thought was, you have a really hard time. Like you have a hard time with yourself that you're at a party that I'm at and that you're alone and you're vaping.
He's a dad who vapes. That's tough.
On the other side of that, we have Timothée Chalamet has a new girlfriend, Aiza Gonzalez. She is actually so hot that it hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
And she also has a tattoo near her bikini line, which is, I just can't deal with how attractive this girl is.
Yeah.
And she's 30 and he's famously 24. And I hate this phrase because it's really overused, but I do think he has big dick energy. I met him once briefly and his confidence was actually overwhelming. And I fully support that he's found a 30-year-old woman who recognizes that. I'm sad it's not me.
I unfortunately do not feel the attraction to him. I don't know why.
You're lost and confused.
I'm lost and confused. I've never felt it. I try to feel it, but I can't. I know he's a beautiful boy, but to me, I wish he was more beautiful.
You're really into that One Direction song. I will say that Call Me By Your Name is one of the hottest movies I've ever seen.
I agree.
And it surpasses sexuality. I think gay porn is really hot, but it's not even that it's gay. It's just so, like, it's purely sexual. Their chemistry was crazy.
I agree, but I have to say that I'm more attracted to Armie Hammer. I don't know what that says about me.
I'm attracted to the dad in the movie. I'm attracted to the girl that Timothée Chalamet dates. Maybe this is just because I'm in quarantine and I haven't had sex in 3 months, but yeah. It's all working for me.
I'm attracted to the peach. I'm attracted to the Italy. I'm attracted to the boot. It's shaped like a boot. Boots are kinky. I'm attracted to kinky boots.
Next headline is Ashley Benson is dating G-Eazy. I'm concerned. She really downgraded from Cara Delevingne to G-Eazy. The one thing I know about G-Eazy is that after Cardi B completely outshined him in that song they had together, he actually went back. She outshined him so much that they were playing her. Radio stations were only playing her portion of the song. They started the song with her portion of the song. So he went back, recorded a new verse and put it in. And I was like, you are actually
toxic.
You're a toxic man.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why. I'm worried about Ashley. She doesn't have to do this. Being gay is always the better choice also.
He keeps like sneaking in there into these public women's lives. And I don't know how he gets there. And I don't know where he came from. But
well,
I think
also
want to
shampoo his head.
Yeah. I mean, he also was the worst part of Hustlers, which otherwise was a perfect film.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with True Romance.
I want True Romance.
And we're back with True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow and Devin Leary. Devin, we're going to do a dramatic reading.
On True Romance, we're going to be doing dramatic readings of romantic Instagram posts. Sometimes they'll be celebrities. Sometimes they'll be people we know. Sometimes they'll be Chet Hanks. But this week, I have an Instagram post from one of my favorite celebrities that I want to make clear I'm a huge fan of and will never not be a huge fan of. That doesn't mean I stand behind her writing in this post.
Please.
This is by Demi Lovato. Baby, I have so much fun with you and there's so many things I want to say right now, but I want to be present and I want to spend this B-day with you, so I'll be quick. Being with you makes life so much fun. That face. We literally act like hooligans on the daily and don't give a fuck if we're embarrassing ourselves, if others are, or if others, she did a typo. There should be an or there. We don't give a fuck if we're embarrassing ourselves if others are around. I spend my days with you barefaced and in a bathing suit. I feel unconditionally loved and accepted by you in a way that I've never felt before. I can't explain it or you. You're indescribable, you beautiful man. Inside and out, you are jaw-droppingly gorgeous. You're also such a positive little beam of light in my life, and I can't wait to make more birthday memories together, .. Here's to the future, baby. I love you, at Max Eric. Eric?
Yeah. He's a soap opera star, so we actually don't need to know his name, but continue.
Heart, 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 heart. P.S. Everyone swiped to see my dog literally trying to steal my man. Crying, laughing emoji. Which clearly is just
the dog is actually just totally fine and being a normal dog.
It's a ploy to get them to get me, who clearly swiped the second I saw this, swiped and liked the second I saw this, to swipe all the way to the end, which I would have done anyway. She didn't even have to do the dog thing.
She is very much in love. I will say something is that I just want Demi to be happy. I'm a love addict.
Same.
I have always been a supporter. I cried during her Grammys performance.
I cried during her MTV documentary and her YouTube Red documentary, and I will be crying during her next documentary that she just announced.
She's a documentarian.
Yeah, she honestly is. Oh, I don't watch real documentaries, so I don't know any examples.
Ken Burns.
She's Ken Burns, basically.
Demi herself has gone through a lot of breakups, and namely with Wilmer Valderrama. Also, like any it girl out there, she's dated a Jonas brother.
Any respectable it girl.
Any respectable it girl has hooked up with a Jonas brother. If you haven't hooked up with a Jonas brother, that's actually embarrassing for
then
you and your
nobody
family.
In this town. Get out.
You're done, honey.
You're done.
So to get back to our topic today, I just wanted to say, and I'll use Mariah Carey as an example, how terrifying it is to get out of a relationship and to know that you want to get out of a relationship. Mariah Carey actually used to travel with her passport because she had a fantasy when she was married to Tommy Mottola of someone kidnapping her and taking her away from the marriage. And I haven't had a kidnapping fantasy, but I have had fantasies where the guy I'm with either breaks up with me or I meet someone new who is like, I'm taking you out of here. I basically wanted to, someone described it as Tarzan dating, which is you swing from relationship to relationship without ever touching ground and having to be single.
I've always felt like I wanted the person to cheat on me because then I would be like, well, I have to get out and everyone will understand and I'll just never tell them that I secretly wanted to get out all along.
And you get to be the victim.
Yeah, and then everyone feels bad for you. And I can finally relate to most of Beyonce's songs about cheating, such as, you're replaceable. Did that sound exactly like her?
Okay, wait, have you guys heard Devin sing?
Okay, Simon Cowell, are you out there? Did you hear that? Bradley Cooper? Do you want to born me into stardom?
I wish that someone could count how many times I've watched A Star Is Born trailer.
You Star Is Borned me.
Oh.
Because you're like a podcast veteran and you were like, I'm going to take a chance on my pal Dev. Like,
can I ask you a personal question? Do you ever write your own songs? I don't sing my own songs. Why? I just don't feel comfortable. Why wouldn't you feel comfortable? Almost everyone has told me that they like the way I sing, but they hate the way I look. I think you're beautiful. What? Hey.
Wait.
I just want to get another look at you. And she looks at him like, oh, you're crazy. I could keep going.
Wait, does she actually go, what?
No, I added that because that's her expression. Oh, it would my be God. So cool if that was her moment.
You didn't do the Andrew Dice Clay parts.
Well, who's Andrew Dice Clay?
Isn't he the dad? Maybe I'm wrong.
You're thinking of one of my top celebrity crushes, which is Sam Elliott and his mustache.
No, that is Bradley Cooper's brother.
Who's his dad? His daddy is dead, Devin. Don't bring it up.
No. I know, but Lady Gaga's dad is Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah, he's not in the trailer, so nice try.
Oh, you're doing the trailer.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
I wish I could sing like that. Holy shit.
My life would be different, you could say that, if I could sing like that.
So if you're waiting for something about the guy you're dating to change, I have a spoiler for you.
It's not
going to. First of all, Bradley Cooper kills himself at the end of A Star Is Born. Second of all, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I have had so many relationships where I think it's going to get better, or the saddest thing is waiting for it to be as good as it was in the beginning.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the specific moments that we knew it was time for things to be over, or when other people knew it was time for things to be over with us.
Well, one of my relationships with someone I'm still friends with ended the night that we were playing basketball, and he said, if you make this next shot, I'll spend the night with you. And I was like, actually, as my boyfriend, you're contractually obligated to spend the night with me. But I still made the shot, missed, and he didn't spend the night with me. And as he walked away saying he was having a guy's night, when I, by nature, was offering the opportunity to have sex, I thought, maybe not for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you had been one of the greats, you would have, like Michael Jordan, been like, you're going to doubt me? Well, just watch.
23. I've also been kicked out of a house before by a boyfriend who was like, all right, see you later, babe.
That's enough.
And I was like, wait, can I sleep over? I'm loaded off cocaine. And it's 2 a.m. in New York City. And I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. Nope. Okay. Catch you later. But instead, I was like, actually, do you want to date for 2 more years? Because you seem like someone who's going to really take care of me.
Actually, do you want to be my partner during one of the most important times of my life? I have also been kicked out of a dorm room multiple times. When you're wearing pink fishnet tights and it's broad daylight, that's tough. But you just fight. You just keep fighting. You know,
but that's another reason that I really wanted to do this podcast is that I've wasted so much time trying to make things work that weren't working. And I would never want that for Gen Z, especially as they're trying to save the world. There's just so many other worthwhile things to do than try to convince your boyfriend to go to therapy or to AA or to spend the night with you.
Or to like you.
Or to like you. Or to like your personality and that you post ugly pictures on Instagram.
Yeah.
I could have written a novel or directed Iron Man in that time.
You could have written King... Is it King Lear that everyone talks about was written?
Oh, my God.
Shakespeare. Everyone's
like,
you
could spend your quarantine writing King Lear like Shakespeare. And I was like, hey, heads up, that book was boring.
I don't even know if this is a controversial opinion at this point, but I fucking hate Shakespeare and I'll never think it's good. I like 10 Things I Hate About You. So people are like, oh, well, that's like the inspiration. And I'm like, yeah, words are the inspiration for a book in the same way. I like books.
And I like Romeo and Juliet. Words. I do like Romeo and Juliet, especially the Leo version, but that's because I like sex. Period.
That's because I like poison.
Aww. That's because I like murder sueys.
Yeah. Call me crazy. I like that.
Call me crazy.
It has nothing to do with the writing.
Girl.
It could have been about anything. If it ended that way, I would have liked it.
Every girl I know is more self-deprecating than guys.
I know.
It's so tragic.
I think they can be self-deprecating about like appearance things. There's no guys who are like, oh, I know, like I'm difficult. I'm sorry. I'm a little crazy. They're like, what? I was being vulnerable. I was telling you how I feel. Is there something wrong with that? So that's tough.
Also, guys telling you how they feel is like, I'm going to fucking kill you because I love you so much. Sorry, I'm being emotional. Sorry for opening up to you.
Oh my God.
There's also been moments where I believe my partner has realized that it maybe it's time to end things with me, just to give perspective from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I had a boyfriend who broke up with me after I scream cried after watching P.S. I Love You. I watched P.S. I Love You, had what could be generously called a mental breakdown, quoted lines to him from the movie while crying. And he was like, I think you're unwell. I don't think you're sane. I think I have to leave. And when someone calls you crazy when you're acting crazy, it's really hard to defend your behavior. Like, I was like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? I'm going to be okay. We have fun. We have a good time.
Do we not have fun?
Do we not? Oh, so you're not having fun right now.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, my other boyfriend who I broke up with every other day, I think just slowly realized that I was an unstable person to date. Dumping him on Valentine's Day and then getting back together with him a few hours later may have shown my true colors.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're human. It's decisions are big. It's hard to make them sometimes.
I was like, and you think a woman can't be president?
Oh, and I think so you're not with her. So you're not with her. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I can't be president.
I can be president 3 weeks out of the month, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. What if you saw a cake and got distracted?
If I was president,
the hardest decision I would make is what kind of dog to get.
I thought it was going to be something about cake. If I was president, it would be hard for me not to have all the cake I want every single day.
I love that we're openly saying, like, hey, maybe women can't be president. This is why we can't.
Presidents don't really do anything. It's really remarkable how badly Trump has fucked up being president, since they really don't do anything. But
that's so true.
I mean, we've all seen Scandal.
That's certainly true. We have all seen Scandal.
Who was really running the show there? We all know.
Olivia Pope, a gladiator.
The white hats. Wait, were they called the white hats or something? Or am I making that up?
I think you're absolutely making that up. But Olivia Pope did have that beautiful white, I believe, pashmina coat that she wore around town. And she would be talking on her cell phone going, it's handled.
Yeah.
Which is actually me having a bowel movement during the day. I'm like, hey, it's handled.
Oh my
God.
That's
me calling my OBGYN after my fungal cream comes through. Like, hey, it's handled, all right? Thank you for your business.
I wouldn't have that experience because I am constantly telling doctors, like, I think it's handled, but I don't know and I'm not ready to say that yet.
One of my friends was like, I literally wait till the last second before going to the doctor. Like, I wait until a third head grows. And then I'm like, okay, maybe there's a problem here.
I go right away, but I mean, like, I'm not ready to say everything's okay until, like, I'm 100% certain, because I want to be able to be like, it didn't work. Can you send more medication? More medication. More medication.
So the moment I knew I had to leave my last OBGYN is when I got a checkup. It's obviously nerve-wracking, especially this was like when I was 22, so I was just having sex with random people. I get a checkup. I'm nervous about it, as, you know, any human person is. I get a voicemail from my OBGYN saying, Carolina, I need you to call me back as soon as possible. I have full body chills. I think I'm going to throw up. I call her back and she says everything's fine. I'm mad just thinking about it. 10 years later, I'm mad just thinking about it. When it happens to you, you know how it feels.
When it happens to you. I had that happen where my gynecologist called me and was like, I need to talk to you about your test results. Like, give me a call back. I know.
Why?
And so I was like devastated at work. And
because you were like, yeah.
I have still a note on my phone from my coworker, who I won't name, who's a close friend, who wrote into my notes app, probably just HPV, thumbs up emoji. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. I hope so. And then it turned out it was just abnormal and they didn't know why. And then it ended up being nothing. But
it turns out. Yeah.
It turns out they meant abnormal, like unique, amazing, better than the regular.
It turns out I was with child, which was good news. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's True Romance. Devin and I are honored to join this journey with you of finding the one and then leaving him. And we just really hope to facilitate as many breakups and divorces as possible as we guide you to finding that radical love that only Lisa Bonet and Jason Momoa seem to have. Devin, I love you.
I love you, Carol.
Catch you next week. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys, that was crazy. But here's my number.
So call me, maybe.